The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something huge, really huge, the quest for a theory of everything.
That's right. We're diving into Brian Greene's classic, The Elegant Universe.
And this book, it argues that, well, everything, the entire fabric of reality, is woven from these tiny, tiny vibrating strings.
It's definitely an essential deep dive for anyone who's ever, you know, looked up at the stars and just wondered, what is all this? Greene's mission here is, well, it's monumental. He wants to unify everything, all the fundamental forces, all the particles, into one single elegant description.
And it feels urgent, right? Because physics, as we understand it now, it kind of breaks down at the extreme.
Exactly. We have these two powerhouse theories, general relativity and quantum mechanics, both incredibly successful on their own turf.
But they clash. They fundamentally contradict each other when you try to use them together. That's the heart of the conflict. General relativity, Einstein's masterpiece, describes gravity. The big-scale planets, galaxies, the smooth curve of space-time. Greene calls it the smooth marble palace.
Love that description. And then there's quantum mechanics, the micro world.
Yeah, the frenetic Jackson Pollock painting, as Greene puts it. It governs the subatomic realm, electrons, quarks, all that weird probabilistic fuzziness.
Totally different vibes.
Completely. And they work perfectly fine in their own domains.
Yeah.
But try to describe something like the inside of a black hole, or the very instant of the Big Bang.
Places where you need both gravity and quantum effects.
Right, and the math just laughs us. It spits out infinities, nonsense answer. It basically throws up its hands and says, error, cannot compute.
Like oil and water, they just don't mix mathematically.
And that, Greene argues, is exactly why we desperately need something new. String theory is put forward as, well, maybe the only candidate right now that can fix this deep crisis.
So who's our guide on this pretty wild journey?
Brian Greene. He's a theoretical physicist, professor at Columbia, a Rhodes Scholar. I mean, the guy's credentials are top-notch. He's a leading expert in string theory and cosmology.
But what's really cool about Greene, I think, is that he's not just a researcher buried in equations.
No, definitely not. He's got this dual talent. He's actively pushing the boundaries of the field, doing the hardcore math.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also an amazing communicator. He can take these incredibly abstract, dense ideas, stuff that usually only makes sense to a handful of physicists worldwide.
Right, the really complex stuff.
And translate it.
Yeah.
He uses these fantastic, vivid analogies that let the rest of us, you know, follow along. He makes the esoteric actually feel understandable.
That's crucial for a book like The Elegant Universe. And the book itself, it's structured really cleverly.
It is. It's part history lesson, part glimpse into the future of physics.
He walks you through why we even need this theory. Starts with Newton, moves through Einstein and curved space-time, and then boom, you land in the weirdness of quantum mechanics.
And that historical context is so important. It shows you the cracks in the foundation, the tensions that string theory aims to resolve. That clash between the smooth, predictable world of Einstein and the jittery, probabilistic quantum world.
So then he introduces the main idea. The big leap.
The core concept. Forget point particles. Think strings.
Right. The fundamental building blocks aren't zero-dimensional dots anymore. They're tiny, one-dimensional filaments of energy, vibrating strings.
And that little shift from a point to a line sounds small, but mathematically, it changes everything.
How so?
Well, think about point particles colliding. The math has to deal with what happens at an infinitely small point of interaction. That's where those problematic infinities pop up.
Oh, okay.
But a string has length. It's not a point. So when strings interact, they sort of smear out the interaction point. They don't collide at one single infinitesimal spot.
So it smooths things over, avoids the mathematical blow up.
Exactly. That one extra dimension, that length, it elegantly sidesteps the whole infinity problem, stops the math from breaking down.
Okay, that makes sense. And that leads to the really poetic part, right? The cosmic symphony idea.
Yes. This is the heart of the elegance. Mm-hmm. If everything is made of the same basic string, how do we get all the different particles we see? Electrons, photons, quarks, plus all the forces, like gravity.
How does one string do all that?
Vibrations. Just like a violin string can play different notes depending on how it vibrates.
Okay.
These fundamental strings, vibrating in different patterns, manifest as different particles or forces. An electron is one vibration pattern, a photon is another, a quark another.
Wow. So all the diversity of the universe, all the matter, all the forces, it's just different music played by the same fundamental string.
That's the idea. It's the ultimate unification. Everything from one source. Incredible elegance.
It comes with some pretty wild predictions, doesn't it? Stuff that sounds like science fiction.
Oh, yeah. It forces us to rethink reality itself. The first big one is supersymmetry, or the USY.
Supersymmetry. What does that mean for the particles we already know about, like in the standard model?
Well, the mathematics of string theory demands this deep kind of balance, a symmetry, between the particles that make up matter, they're called fermions, and the particles that carry forces, called bosons.
Okay, a balance.
And this required symmetry predicts that every single known particle should have an undiscovered, heavier superpartner. So there should be a selectron partner for the electron, a Fitino for the photon, and so on.
So the particles we know are only half the picture.
If string theory is right, yes. There's a whole shadow zoo of superparticles out there waiting to be discovered.
Okay, that's radical prediction number one. What's number two?
Extra dimensions. This is maybe the most famous, most mind-bending part.
Right, I've heard this. The theory needs more dimensions than the three space dimensions and one time dimension we experience.
The math just doesn't work otherwise. To be mathematically consistent, string theory requires the universe to have, well, depending on the version, up to 10 or 11 dimensions in total.
10 spatial dimensions plus time. Yeah. But where are they? I don't see extra dimensions when I, you know, walk across the room.
Huh. No, you don't. And that's the key. This is where Green's garden hose analogy comes in. It's brilliant.
Explain that one.
Okay. Imagine a long garden hose stretched out across a field. From far away, it just looks like a one-dimensional line, right?
Yeah, just length.
But if you get really close, you see that at every point along that line, there's actually a second dimension curled up around it, the circumference of the hose.
Ah, I see. A hidden curled up dimension.
Exactly. The idea is that these extra spatial dimensions required by string theory are like that circumference. They're curled up or compactified incredibly tightly at every single point in our familiar space.
So they're tiny, too small to notice.
Microscopically small, way smaller than an atom. That's why we don't perceive them in our everyday large-scale world.
Okay, wow. Hidden dimensions everywhere. And the shape of these hidden dimensions matters?
Monumentally. This is where it gets really interesting and mathematically complex. Green talks about these intricate, beautiful shapes called Calabi-Yau manifolds.
Calabi-Yau sounds complex.
They are. Multidimensional geometric shapes. But here's the absolutely crucial idea. The precise geometry, the exact shape of these tiny curled up dimensions, dictates the fundamental laws of physics we observe.
Wait, say that again? The shape determines the laws.
Yes. The geometry of those hidden dimensions determines how the strings can vibrate. And remember, the vibrations determine the particles and forces.
So the mass of an electron, the strength of gravity, all that fundamental stuff, it's determined by the specific shape of these hidden dimensions.
According to the theory, yes. Geometry is physics, in a sense.
Yeah.
The shape of space-time, including these hidden dimensions, literally dictates the rules of the game.
That's profound, but also maybe a problem. How do we know which shape is the right one?
That is the challenge. There isn't just one possible shape.
Yeah.
Estimates range into the tens of thousands, maybe even vastly more, possible Calabi-Yau shapes.
Whoa.
And each different shape would correspond to a universe with slightly different physical laws, different particle masses, different force strengths.
Right.
We don't yet know which specific geometry matches our universe.
So finding the right Calabi-Yau shape is like finding the blueprint for our reality.
Pretty much. It's a huge mathematical puzzle. And this difficulty, this landscape of possibilities, partly led to what's called the second superstring revolution in the mid-1990s.
What happened then?
Well, before that, there were actually five different competing versions of string theory. Which, you know, isn't ideal if you're looking for one theory of everything.
Right. Five theories of everything is zero theories of everything.
Exactly. But then the physicist Edward Witten had this major insight. He showed that these five seemingly different theories were actually just different facets, different perspectives of one single deeper underlying theory operating in 11 dimensions.
11 dimensions now.
Yep. He called this unifying framework M theory. Nobody's quite sure what the M stands for. Maybe magic, mystery, or membrane?
Membrane, like a skin.
Sort of. M theory introduced these new objects called brains, short for membranes. These can be higher dimensional surfaces. And this is where cosmology gets really speculative.
Okay, brace ourselves.
The idea is that our entire familiar universe, with its three spatial dimensions, might just be one of these brains specifically. A three brain floating within a larger, higher dimensional space, sometimes called the bulk.
So we're living on a sheet in a higher dimensional reality.
Potentially. And this opens up all sorts of wild possibilities. Parallel universes existing on other brains, maybe just millimeters away in a hidden dimension.
Whoa.
Even ideas about the Big Bang maybe not being the absolute beginning, but perhaps the result of two of these brains colliding in the higher dimensional bulk.
So the Big Bang wasn't a point exploding. It was a cosmic fender bender in higher dimensions.
That's one of the speculative models, yeah. It really stretches your conception of reality.
It absolutely does.
Okay, let's try to pull back a bit. What are the big themes Green is exploring through all this?
I think the first and maybe most central is the theme of the unity of nature.
Right, that deep sense that beneath all the complexity we see, there's a simple, elegant foundation. Exactly. The idea that all the particles, all the forces, everything emerges from the vibrations of just one fundamental entity, the string. It's incredibly appealing.
And it encourages you maybe to look for similar unifying principles elsewhere, like in biology or even social systems.
I think so. Yeah. Seeking that underlying simplicity. The second big theme is the inadequacy of human intuition.
Oh, yeah. Our everyday common sense is just not equipped for this stuff.
Not at all. Extra dimensions, quantum probability, particles having superpartners, our intuition rebels against it. Green constantly shows how fundamental reality operates by rules that seem utterly alien to our experience.
It definitely promotes intellectual humility, doesn't it? You have to be willing to accept that what seems true based on daily life might be completely wrong at a deeper level.
Absolutely. Question everything. And the third theme that really shines through is the power and beauty of mathematical description.
Mm-hmm. The idea that math isn't just a tool, but it might actually be pointing the way to physical truth.
Right. String theory is driven largely by mathematical consistency and elegance. The math demanded extra dimensions and supersymmetry long before there was any hope of experiments confirming them. It suggests that sometimes the most beautiful math is also the truest description of reality.
It's a kind of faith in mathematical structure itself.
In a way, yes.
Green also has such a gift for language. Some of his analogies and descriptions are just perfect.
They really are. We already mentioned the smooth marble palace of general relativity versus the frenetic Jackson Pollock painting of quantum mechanics.
That just instantly captures the conflict visually and stylistically.
Totally. And the cosmic symphony metaphor is unforgettable. The fundamental particles are nothing but the musical notes played by tiny vibrating strings.
It makes the unification idea so clear and, well, elegant.
It really does. Another idea that sticks with you, maybe a bit more philosophically, is the suggestion that space and time themselves might not be fundamental.
What do you mean, not fundamental?
That maybe space and time are emergent properties. Like, they arise from something even deeper, some underlying network of relations or information described by the theory.
So the stage itself isn't fixed, it's part of the play.
Kind of, yeah. Mm. It's a provocative thought that what we perceive as the very fabric of reality might be built for more basic ingredients.
Wow. Okay, so obviously string theory isn't powering our phones yet. Are there any real-life applications or takeaways from grappling with these ideas?
Well, no direct technological applications yet, that's true. But the intellectual applications are huge. First, just exercising your capacity for abstract thinking.
Right. Following the logic through Clubiao shapes or extra dimensions, it's like a workout for your abstract reasoning muscles.
Definitely. And that ability to think abstractly, to challenge core assumptions, that's valuable in any field, not just physics. It drives innovation.
Good point. What else?
Cultivating wonder and perspective. Mm. Seriously. Thinking about our place in a possible 11-dimensional multiverse made of vibrating strings.
Puts your daily commute in perspective.
Huh, exactly. It gives you this cosmic context that can actually be good for your mental well-being.
Yeah.
It reminds you of the scale of things.
True. And maybe a third application is learning to be comfortable with uncertainty.
Yes. Green is very honest that string theory isn't experimentally proven yet. Mm-hmm. There's no smoking gun observation.
So it's still a work in progress.
Very much so. And watching physicists proceed based on mathematical consistency, theoretical beauty, and logical deduction, even without definitive proof, that teaches you something important.
How to move forward when you don't have all the answers.
Precisely. Making decisions, building arguments, having conviction based on the best available logic, even with incomplete information. That's a vital skill in life and work.
Absolutely. Okay, final thoughts. What's the one thing that really stands out to you from the Elegant Universe?
For me, it's that astonishing idea we touched on, that the fundamental laws of physics might not be arbitrary rules, but are actually dictated by geometry. The specific shape of those tiny hidden dimensions literally determines everything we experience: mass, forces, the very nature of particles. The thought that reality is underpinned by such intricate, specific geometry. It's mind-blowing. The quest to figure out that geometry feels like one of the grandest adventures humanity can undertake.
Yeah, that connection between geometry and physics is powerful. For me, I think it's the sheer, well, elegance of the core idea. The possibility that all this incredible complexity boils down to the vibrations of one single thing.
It's a cosmic symphony.
Exactly. And related to that, the power of mathematics. That math can reveal these potential truths about reality that are so far beyond our direct senses, beyond our intuition. Even if we can't prove it experimentally yet, the mathematical beauty makes you feel like it ought to be true somehow. It really changes how you perceive the underlying fabric of everything.
It really does.
So, maybe the final thought for everyone listening is, does the fact that the universe seems to obey these incredibly deep, elegant mathematical principles, does that suggest that simplicity and beauty are, in some fundamental way, indicators of truth? Something to ponder. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.